I will pay everyone in the audience $100 American if we can just listen to Def Leppard all day.
Okay, but only if it's Pyromanian before.
I mean, how much could that be? Like $2,000 at the most?
What do you mean? You wouldn't listen to Pour Some Sugar on Me? You don't like... You don't
yeah,
like
then you would make a counteroffer to not play certain songs.
That's a great... There's this dueling piano bar called Howl at the Moon. And, you know, it's just two people up there playing. So they get to a point of the night where they start playing college fight songs.
Oh.
And you can tip and you can give your recommendation, you know, here's my request. And what they do is people will start playing like the Illinois fight song. And then somebody's from Mizzou and they're like, I don't want to hear this. They'll go give more money
Brilliant.
To stop playing that and then play the Mizzou fight song.
That's awesome.
So they must absolutely bank Yeah. Oh. During that time.
You get drunk college sports fans.
They're you get the KU
like,
fans like,
Here's
I'm, not
a thousand.
I'm not listening to this Mizzou song. Here's the KU fight song. Here's $100. Play
we
got
to rip that off. That's, yeah, we got to
so
figure
great.
Out a way to monetize that.
Next yeah. DGS Live.
That's really good.
Isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, my next stand-up, like, I'm going to tell the monkey mask. And they're like, don't do it. Don't do it. I'm going to do it.
Well, if the GoFundMe reaches 100, we won't do it.
We're not going to do it. Yeah, I was just telling the guys, just like commiserating with you people out there in the audience. We all know this feeling, but everything that's been going on this past, I can't believe it's been a week. It feels like a month, but I love doing the show. I wouldn't want to do any other job. I absolutely love it. But every day at 1:00. You're sitting here, and I've always said it's like you're getting ready to wheels up to drive to Florida. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I can't do it. And so just know this is true. Every day before I go, good afternoon, St. Louis, in my mind, I go, I can't do it. Yep. And then I say, good afternoon, St. Louis, and I do it again. But on a day like today, let me coin a phrase here. Thank God it's Friday. Because I really feel like I can't do it. Mm-hmm. You know, just mm-hmm. like, nope. Nope, not going to happen. Don't know what's going to happen, but it's not going to be in the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We might all sit here in silence. Amy might do the show.
He's like, we're just going to play Def Leppard.
I don't know.
Yeah, just give me the signal and the music starts going again, Dave. Don't worry.
We were talking about this recently, how look, you can love your job. It can mm-hmm. be the best job in the whole wide world and everything about it is great. You love the people you work with. You love the money. You love everything. But sometimes... You know, you get an extra hour off or you get a day off and it's like, yes, I want that day. But when you're going through something and it's what you're going through or something else that's serious, just to have those days, mm-hmm. it feels like,
yeah,
I don't know, man, like, I don't know how you're at work now and not distracted. I would probably be distracted.
Yeah, I was. So I think you guys know my mom took a fall and then ironically went to rehab and within 2 hours had fallen at a fall risk place and broke her hip really, really bad. And so she is in MoBap now, thank God. And we're working to get her to the next rehab place. And she has been very out of it. Like her cognition has just been at a 2 out of 10, thinking she was on a gambling boat, which was sad, but in Glovers always have the jokes. Okay. we can't help it. We always have the jokes. And she was very funny because she kept picking up things like rectal thermometers. And she's like, I'm not going to win on this one. And I'm like, no, I might, but
I wouldn't say nobody,
but she's more lucid now. But anyone who's ever dealt with cognitive issues with loved ones, the more lucid she is, the more sad and mad and bitter she is. So you almost kind of want her to be, you know, back to thinking she's on a boat for a while.
Yeah.
But
well, yeah, and I mean this. This probably gets too dark, but like if every day, right, someone is dealing with Alzheimer's or memory loss, and they've, for instance, like happened to my great aunt, lost a spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And every day
you have to re-experience
it. I'm not sure that there's anything crueler.
Yeah.
than that.
Yeah, I went toe-to-toe with my dad's doctor because my dad had been battling Alzheimer's for a few years and had gone through, everyone out there who's been through it has gone through, the sundowning and the paranoia and spent a couple of nights in the geriatric psych unit when he was just like, you're stealing my money and you're this and you're that. And then how do you claim to not see a little girl coming out of a mouse hole in the other room, blah, blah. And then he sort of eased into this sweet, happy oblivion. And then the doctor started giving him drugs like Aricept, which bring you back. And it brought him back to how he was before. And I said, can you take him off of that? And he acted like I was the worst son of all time. And that's one thing. I have a lot of respect for doctors, especially going through something like this. And many of them are just superheroes. Some not so much. Because like this guy was like, oh, so you just want him to be. And I'm like, yeah, I do. Because he's happy. You know, like when he doesn't know anything, he's way happier than when he knows a couple things. Then he's just pissed. So, yeah, of course you want that. A couple of shout outs. Kim and Melissa are both. Melissa is a social worker. Kim's a nurse. They are the care coordinators for my mom. They're both big fans of the show and met them today and trying to get my mom to a nicer place next time. And so hello to Kim and Melissa. Love you guys. Thank you very much. What have I missed? What else is going on in the world?
Kevin, what do you got?
I don't know.
Yeah, nothing happened today.
Did you have baseball last night?
No, it's tonight. Yeah. It's tonight, yep. And then tomorrow night, and then Sunday.
How, okay, like, my scale of dread on doing the show in a day like this, you know, might be at like a 5. What is your scale of dread when it's like 40 degrees or 103 degrees and you have a doubleheader?
I don't mind the 103. I mean, you get used to it. Yeah, I mean, it's baseball, though. Like, it's baseball weather. That's just kind of what it is. The cold is worse because baseball's not good in the cold. But I would say, like, on those days, I don't know. I mean, I wear jackets and stuff. The only dread is ever, like, making sure that everything's running on time. Like, the dread is sometimes you arrive at a tournament and you're supposed to start at 6 o'clock at night and they're running an hour and a half late and you don't start till 7:30. Like, that's the dread because you just never know what's going on.
To what degree do you have to parent your kids, your boys?
Not too much, because I don't want that to be the relationship,
yeah,
right? I don't want it to be a parent-child thing because, number one, it's not that. It's not going to beat that. So basically what the whole idea is,
you're supposed to be the cool guy.
No, not that either.
No?
It's supposed to be a little bit of the cool guy, a little bit of the jerk, a little bit of, you know, pat you on the back, you know, you're all right. Like, it's a little bit of everything, but the number one thing is, how do you get ready for what's next?
Yeah.
So I have 14-year-olds. What's next is high school. High school means your parents are not going to have much contact with your coaches ever, if at all. So you try to teach that. Like, hey, stop relying on mom and dad. You talk to me.
Yeah.
You tell me what questions you have, what concerns you have, what you're, you know, if you're going to be late, text me, not mom and dad. And it's that combined with understanding too how hard the game gets as you get older. When you're younger, it's fun and easy.
Yeah.
And if you're serious, it gets really hard because everyone else is working really hard too. So it's a mix of everything. But the first thing is building the trust. Like, you spend, so what is it? Like, we spend 2 months in the fall and then 5 or 6 months starting in the winter. So you're basically eight months out of a year with that group. Most of that is just teaching and encouraging and joking and building trust.
Remember in An Officer and a Gentleman when Richard Gere was graduating and Lou Gossett Jr. had been so mean to him?
Yeah.
He's like, I'll never forget you. And they're crying. Is that what it's like when your boy?
It's not far off because when they come back, it's always like, man, I just forgot how much fun it was. And I go, yeah, it wasn't fun those days when I was yelling you and making you run poles because we couldn't remember our bunt defenses.
But how do you not remember a bunt defense?
Dude, tell me about it.
Come on, man.
It's
the only thing I remember.
Tell me about
it's
it.
Basic.
It's the only piece of knowledge I have in my head right now.
Yeah. So
kids are just stupid.
These kids.
Well, again, they're 14, and that's part of why, like, and I'll tell them all. Like,
for each one, do you put a little pin on their chest and go, now you go?
No, we just bro hug it out and like, all right, Betty, I get the first interview when you sign pro. Which is time. I've actually had that experience. I got the first interview a couple times.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, all because of your coaching.
No. No, it's definitely never that. Not mine, not anybody that takes credit for that is a dummy. Like, you can influence people, but there's a lot of things that go into whether or not somebody gets to where they want to go.
Those are the kids who you should try to replace their fathers. You should be their new father. Like, oh, you're going to be a big leaguer, are you?
Yeah.
Well, your dad's not getting it done.
Listen, remember who got you here, son.
That's right.
That would be great, wouldn't it? On the first day of practice, like, okay, rule one, you call me daddy.
I'm your
new call
dad.
Me daddy.
That gets weird.
You're going to the big leagues, so I can see it.
It is pretty funny though that like the change because when you'll see a lot because you have to be tough on certain people and on certain positions. Like I'm really tough on catchers because mm-hmm. it was my position and it's a tough job, and I really work them very hard. Yeah. And at the time they're miserable and they're getting beat up and you know you could see how tired they are. But then when they come back and see you when they're in college, and they're like, okay, that's why.
I'm sorry. We have another athlete who's chomping at the bit to get in on this.
Yes.
The Euphomium coach, was yes. he
were they tough?
Was he tough on you?
Oh, yeah. They were very tough. A couple of them went to jail for
okay.
various,
whoa,
for various reasons.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
What's the, you win.
What's the drumming movie?
Drumline.
You know what? One of them didn't go to jail. He just got fired. But part of the firing was how much he was yelling at me all the time.
Really? You in particular?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He and I did not get along. And then the other one was doing untoward things ew. With
you again?
No. I
was going to say there seems to be a you issue going
yeah,
on.
At a certain point, it's more of a me thing than a them thing.
Ron, you've got something cooking over there.
No, it's the drum.
It's not drumline.
Like,
it's the one.
Like bang.
It was. It was an Oscar-nominated movie.
Yeah.
Oh, Whiplash.
Whiplash.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Was it like that? That guy was a jerk to his student.
Bang.
Bang.
I mean,
is that what you said? It's called
now,
Bang?
Oscar
Roger's clearing out his browser history from last night.
I own Bang, and it's a fine
dude,
film.
I'm going to Google Bang on my phone, see what comes up.
No,
right now.
Google Bang and Solo.
I'm going to start with Bang. There's an energy drink.
Yes, it's very popular.
Yeah,
amongst
delicious.
The high school
and there's
kids.
A good speaker brand, Bang & Olufsen.
Yes, they're very expensive.
They're very expensive
yeah,
speakers.
I know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, no, but he was
but
a pedophile, though.
I think it's Bong.
Is it?
No, I'm just making it up. I have no idea.
Amy was gone the day we were theorizing about her, right?
I don't remember what we were
yeah,
theorizing.
Yeah, I think you're gone. And here is my theory, that you have never been rewarded for being funny. Until the show. And my theory is that you're driving Mason Jar crazy at home because you're like sitting around and you're like, okay, if this comes up, here's what I'm going to do.
If
bang!
Then.
Solo! And he's like, it's okay. It's not great. It's okay. Like
she does.
Your workshop and stuff.
Yeah, your workshop and stuff.
Like really, that. Well, I go back and I definitely tell him, like, here's what I said. It was funny. Kevin came in
there's
with the glasses.
My girl. There's
and I was
my
like,
girl.
You're a kind of guy. You look like the kind of guy that would buy those for fashion.
That yeah. was a good one.
That was the day.
That was a good one.
Amy was funny. On fire that day.
Does he have to tell you I'm not your open mic night?
No, he's just like, oh.
Yeah. Like, oh, you burned him on that one, honey.
That was a good story, Amy.
Amy does have that White House press secretary folder with the tabs in it. Like, oh, they're talking about Iran. I'll go to that section now.
The kids call me Amy, but they're like, okay, Amo. I get a lot of okay.
That's awesome. Have you guys heard of phubbing? Phubbing?
Yes, I have.
Have
yes.
you?
When you ignore other people and look at your phone, right?
Yeah, specifically your spouse. That, say, for example, Amy and Mason Jar, Amy's complaining to Mason Jar, Dave's so mean, and he picks up his phone. He's fubbing her.
Mm-hmm.
He's snubbing, and he's looking at his phone.
Mm.
And evidently, it's breaking up a lot of couples, the whole fubbing thing.
It's a great word.
Isn't that funny?
It is.
I hate.
I reverse the ings.
I hate a lot of the new terms that people make for, like, you're just ignoring your spouse. Like,
yeah, like, it's just what, being a bad
it's
partner.
Been going on forever, but like most of the new terms I hate, I like that one.
And it's a really good point because I remember watching my mom and dad fub.
Don't say it like that. But like, you know what?
Frequently
like,
walked in on them.
You know, like the cliche dad damn gets home from girl. Work and he puts the newspaper up and he sits in his chair and he's not hearing or paying attention to anything. Yeah.
You know who raised me? The Alton Telegraph. That's because I saw my dad. his face seven times my whole life.
Well, I guess
it was just this. It was just Alton Telegraph in front of him, and I'd ask him a question, he'd just do this. Hell no.
Guess I'll just read the paper instead of look at your face.
Yeah. How many times do you think that our dads, when they were doing that, were actually reading the paper?
Right.
Or are they just staring into oblivion, just like, I need to calm down, I just need a little break, and this is the way to get it.
You know, the big difference, though, at least like with my generation, and so I grew up like Ronj. I grew up in Carpenter Town and Steel City and Refinery and all that kind of stuff. So there were some white-collar dads, but not very many. They're mostly, you know, hardworking guys. And it wasn't the thing, at least for me and my dad. Like, when my dad got home, it wasn't like, Dad, let's play catch. Hey, Dad, let's go play Monopoly. Hey, Dad. It was just like, Father.
How do you do?
Hell no.
He's like, where's my paper?
Then I'd go do whatever I'd do, like with my friends or, you know, myself. But, yeah, Dad, there's no bothering Dad. Mm-hmm. You just didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ours was kind of like mostly half and half. Like, half the time, it would just depend on what's going on, right? Because my dad, in addition to working, you know, whether it was like his early days working at a dairy where he was like a foreman and he was busy all the time, to UPS where he was tired every day. But he was also refereeing hockey at night. So he's like doing these double things.
Wheeler.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, no doubt. Where do you think I learned it from? But like the times he was around, he was like into it. He's like, let's go play hoops. You want to take batting practice? Let's go to the field. So it was a mix, though, because like it was just depending on what his day was.
Yeah, it always meant more. I've told the story before, but I hurt my arm and I couldn't play baseball, and I was always pretty fast, and so I ran track my senior year. And my very first 100 meters, I was really nervous, and I had no idea if I would win or be last, and I was so nervous. And gun goes off, take off, and about halfway through, I realize I'm winning. And I look down at the end of my lane, and my dad was standing there in his dungarees, and he could not take off work early. He was a working guy. He couldn't do it. But he did, the only time I ever knew, and I literally, this sounds made up, but it's not, I broke the tape and sort of ran right into his arms. Isn't that great?
Nice. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. That's really cool.
And he moved the Alton Telegraph, and he goes, hell no. 133 DGS. I have a big rant about Social Security and living and all that. Do you want that or you want fun stuff? I'll let you choose.
Well, it's Friday, so let's do the most depressing thing possible. Yeah, yeah.
I'll do the fun stuff. Wheeler is going to make your head blow up. A woman left a $1,000 tip at a taco restaurant in Florida because she thought she was going to be swept up in the rapture on the day of the eclipse. She was not. She now has gone back several times wanting a refund.
Oh, no.
Now, the tips, that's nice. That didn't bother me. Good for you.
Yep.
The refund.
But like, okay, I'm only getting the tip if I'm going to heaven. Like the only way I want to give you $1,000 is if I'm going to be taken away from here.
And you're stuck down on earth.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the implication, right? You're going to need this. I won't.
You can use this to tip your spider baristas.
I mean, come on. Don't go back for the refund. Look, it's a tip.
I don't know enough about the rapture, but is money good after it happens?
Because we'll have
I'm
it
serious.
All.
I don't know.
You got the mark of the beast. You're right. So the $1,000 probably doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Dang it.
Yeah. So, what was she doing? That's a no gift then. That's basically giving away a lottery ticket you know is going to lose. In her mind.
Mm.
Right. Here, enjoy this for a couple days, dummies.
Suddenly she's a monster.
I mean,
I don't know if she's a monster.
Pretty big assumption,
hey,
too, right?
Non-rapturable piece of crap.
Pretty big assumption, too. Like, yep, I'm definitely going.
Yeah.
I don't think I like this lady.
I mean, that is the point. The story here is that she obviously gave it to someone who she assumed would not also be raptured.
Right. I would think that assuming you're going might disqualify you.
Hmm. All interesting thoughts.
I would think some humility might be involved in
might
that
help.
Rather than like, I'm good.
As you're rising through the clouds, you're like, I knew it.
Yeah, you called it.
Knew it.
I don't think it is. I mean, just the way it's laid out, though, like if you're saved and you have the faith that you're going to go, I don't know. I get what
I'm
you're
teasing.
Saying. Okay.
I'm mostly teasing. It is pretty arrogant to be like, yep, I'm good.
I think it's arrogant to think
know
you know
the
when the rapture
God.
Is happening.
Yeah.
Like, oh, clearly it's during the eclipse, so gird your loins.
What?
What? That's in the Bible. They it's say that.
Very common phrase.
How do you gird your loins?
You it's when you have
you
the
line
robes
them up
on
and
you.
Yeah,
you
get ready. Mean?
What does that even mean? Does
you
that
just
mean
like kind of?
It's like fubbing, but
doesn't it mean like fortifying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Fortify your loins.
It just means prepare. It just means prepare yourself. Is all
like
it means.
Put on a cup.
Yes, no. Rapture's coming, put on a cup.
I thought it meant like you're wearing the robes and you kind of like pick the robes up so you can run. That's what I thought it was. We studied 2 Peter in 5th grade.
It appears to literally mean put on a belt.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I was close.
Well, that would keep the robes from flying around.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the next time you buy a belt, go into the store and say, yes, I'm looking for something that will gird my loins.
You know, it's funny. I've heard and said gird your loins my whole life. I didn't even...
I had no idea.
You didn't know how to gird them.
Yeah, I figured it just sort of meant clinch them.
Yeah,
I did too.
Yeah.
It's kind of like...
I have some bad news. Clinch your loins. Okay.
I love to gird.
I'm ready. Go.
No, but really. Guys, I'm serious. What happens if I'm unraptured? What happens?
You mean if you're left behind?
I'm left behind.
I don't know what you mean, what if.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. This is a hypothetical.
How about we go with
Let's
when?
Talk about
okay, so,
when?
So I'm not going to be raptured. What happens to me then?
Let me ask it this way.
Okay.
We get to hang out a lot more, Chris.
You are raptured.
I wouldn't know what to do.
Exactly.
Right.
What's your move? Do you just go along like you belong?
I guess.
Yeah.
Isn't it like people leaving a stadium, like walking in the same direction? That's the way I would see
like,
it.
I don't know how to get to public transport, but I'm just going
where they're going.
Yeah, this crowd's going that way.
If you see a man with a scale, go the other direction.
excuse me, how do I gird my loins? I think I heard that somewhere.
I left my loins back there.
Oh, my soul actually got weighed. The other guy did it already. He said I was fine.
Oh, is that what happens?
Yeah, they weigh your soul. Again. That's like the Egyptian thing, right? They weigh your soul against a feather
so
or whatever.
Yeah, we're giving Ranji Egyptian rapture advice. So when you meet Ra, the sun god.
Are you sure this is just soul?
Listen, just don't tell Osiris about the loins thing.
So it's really interesting. I grew up with my mom and dad believed in God, but we didn't go to church. And I went to Vacation Bible School a couple times. But then I became a Christian when I was about 18 in an Assembly of God. And they are all about the rapture, the tribulation period, and the false prophet, and that whole thing. Rach, you too, right? That was a big part of your upbringing. So... left behind in a distant thunder and that whole thing. And it's not pretty. Like, once the rapture happens, it's not good.
I don't know any of this stuff. The church I went to is a bar and a concert venue now. So, yeah. I don't.
That tracks.
I'm serious.
My advice
is, totally is.
If the rapture happens, go back
there. Go there. What band is playing tonight?
Left Behind.
I'm going to hell.
I'm going to hell.
It's fine.
So you went to Donnie Bash?
I did. I went to Donnie Bash last night.
Tell everyone.
How was it?
It was so fun. I had a blast. And before the broadcast started, the Donnie Brookers were all sitting on stage, and Alvin Reed brought up Dave and Wheeler. It was extremely exciting.
Nice.
He said
Thanks,
he invited you guys to the show, but you said you wouldn't come because you would just heckle him. And everyone laughed.
I mean,
it's true.
It was cool. It was a very fun time.
I mean, it wouldn't be just him. I'd get after Charlie, too.
Can you imagine Charlie doing crowd work as people are heckling him?
Yes.
Yeah, I can, too, actually. I can, too.
He can hold his own. You have to ask him about his daughter loved dogs so much. Like, growing up, her whole life, she just wanted a dog. And Charlie said no, and he stuck to his guns. And therefore, his daughter, to this day, is still the only girl in that school who was a member of the Dog Lovers Club who didn't have a dog.
Oh,
that is really sad.
That's what I would make fun of him for. Dang it, Charlie.
Start barking at him.
I hope she's adult. Wow. I hope she, as an adult, she has like 17 dogs, and every time you come over.
I thought I was going to hell. Man.
Yeah, if the rapture happens and you see Charlie go the other way.
It was the dogs.
Hey, so somebody texted in and said that Michael Kelly got roasted or insulted or something. At the Donnie Bash? Is
oh,
true?
I don't know.
They did mention Michael Kelly. I don't remember the exact context. It was something about like a development in Creve Coeur or something.
It had to do with like Sam Page, I think.
Oh.
But like you said,
so it was
shocking.
Underwhelming.
Yeah, shocking that Michael Kelly is who's business was like Democrats and helping to working on campaigns would be associated with a Democrat. He's like, it's not revolutionary.
Okay. So I guess it wasn't that.
So it was kind of like a failed roast.
Yeah.
Okay.
As like, as Michael Kelly roasts go, that one's not too bad.
No. Yeah. Right? He's pretty good at roasting, so not too worried about him. Michael can fight for himself.
Yeah, I've not seen him roast anyone real good.
Yeah.
Did you hear a story about ogling a lady and he fell front of her? Yeah.
Into the bushes and got all scraped up.
What? Yeah. Recently or
yesterday?
Yesterday.
No. Yes.
Yeah. And that's just a week after the whole.
Yeah, I saw the supermodel.
Yeah,
but I saw her too. In his defense, it was probably Carly Kloss, and she's amazing. I was like, who is that person who obviously doesn't live here?
So tell me this story. What do you do?
He was,
He was walking in the Central West End, and he saw a lady that he normally sees, he's seen before, must be in the neighborhood.
Okay.
And she turned, and he turned the same direction. So now they're walking the same direction. He's like, this is my big moment. Like, oh, I'm going to meet her.
Yeah.
And then she was a bit behind him. So he like kind of said, I went back, turned my head to look back.
Yeah.
And he missed a step, fell off the curb into the bushes.
Did she keep going?
No, she was on the phone and like put her phone down. Everyone's like, are you okay? Are you okay? And everyone on the street saw him and he said he was like bleeding.
He said he did a roll and he just stood right up and just kept going.
He ignored everybody and just walked as fast as he could.
And then he realized he was wet and it was blood. He had blood everywhere.
Did he do that really? Like the short step fast walk?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Poor guy. So funny.
Honestly, he should have just waited for help, and that's how you make the introduction.
Right? That could have been the moment.
I know.
So if you're that lady and you saw that happen.
Play the pity card, yeah.
Yeah, it was
Michael
for you.
Kelly, yeah, is his name.
I had one like that a million years ago, like before Phoebe was even a person. We were in Mexico. Yeah, in Mexico with a few couples, and we're staying at this place, and there was this very long reflecting pool, probably a foot deep, and I mean, honestly, like 100 feet long. Mm-hmm. And we were coming back from dinner, had a couple drinks, and this couple came walking by, and they were both gorgeous, but this woman was like the Carly Kloss kind of gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to side-eye, you know, like not going, and I walk right into the reflecting pool. 100% true story.
Oh, yeah.
And I walked the entire length.
I didn't
step back out. I walked the entire 100 feet, yeah. And everyone was just like watching. And
that's
the lady's husband was smiling
incredible.
Really big.
That's
yeah.
incredible.
That's so funny.
Wow. See it through.
Boom.
Can you imagine being attractive enough that you're sending people into bushes and reflecting pools?
Oh, Amy's got a story for you. Why don't you tell this story, Amy?
No.
I can imagine it.
Years ago.
Back in the
euphonium
days.
I can imagine it.
Yeah. No, one guy was on a bike and he like passed by and I looked over as he passed on his bike, but he was young. He was like a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kept going on his bike and then he turned and like looked at me. But when you turn on a bike, the wheel turns.
The wheel turns.
Broke his leg.
Holy crap.
So I ran up to him
you
like, are you okay?
Man.
I know. I knew where he lived. So I'm like, let me go get your mom. So
oh, no.
Let me go get your
so I
mom.
Ran back.
That probably played right into
wow.
his whole thing.
And his mom was like, was he looking at you? And I'm like, well, he's like, I'm glad he broke his leg.
He does that.
He does that.
What?
And another time, two golf
it's
carts
like
crashed.
The script of Carrie. That's an amazing story.
Yeah, he broke his leg. And then I caused two golf carts to crash again. Not anymore. I'm like,
I could have saved that guy a lot of grief.
Old.
If I'd have been there, I'd just been like, dude, don't even bother. Don't even.
Don't even turn
doesn't
around.
Even matter. Doesn't even matter.
Wow. I used to, it's part of my stand up. I was in love with the paper girl when I was about 12. And I tried many things to get her attention. But one day I was literally standing in the front yard wearing my friend Stacy's girl cheerleader shoes, wearing a Planet of the Apes monkey mask and nunchucking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Now you would think that even if you weren't romantically interested, you would at least stop and notice,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And she just kept on going. And I, to this day, I can remember the feeling of the nunchucks hitting my shoulders and thinking, what is it that women want? I mean,
he's like, you're like full on Russell Crowe. Yeah, are you not entertained?
I feel like I'm killing it over here.
This doesn't do it for you? Oh, what do you want? A perfect man?
Should I be reading poetry?
Athletics? Humor? Girls' shoes?
The ability to beat someone's ass?
Right. I can protect you on your paper route?
What kind of mask were you wearing?
It was a Cornelius monkey mask. The kind you can barely see or breathe out of. And so I couldn't just wait for her to show up. I had to time it. So I'd probably been chucking for about 3 minutes. Just like,
you know what?
And then here she came. I could just see her driving by.
I am absolutely going to the bar like that tonight.
Nunchucking in a monkey mask.
Or the bar.
Yeah. No. The actual bar. This'll get her. This doesn't work. Nothing will.
And nothing did for like 30 more years.
So good.
Oh my God. You ever think, like, you see someone who just looks ridiculous and you go, they did that on purpose. You know, like, they got up this morning and they did their hair like that and they walked out feeling good. Uh-huh. Same thing. It was all completely constructed. Like, every single write down.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I'm doing it tonight. Hey, can I get your Instagram? What?
Is that Cornelius?
Yeah. It's Sergeant Urko.
Fronge, it'll only work if you do it in the James Gum voice.
Oh. Yeah, that's the extra layer we need.
Can I get your number? With the nunchucks and the mask?
You have to do it like this, though.
That's my van right there.
What's your number? I'm doing it. I got nothing to lose.
Hey, I got nunchucks in my office. And a monkey mask.
Yes!
You got both?
Yeah, I can hook you up.
All right.
Yeah.
This sounds like a TikTok.
So, Race, what's your vacuum thing?
So I have a Roborock vacuum cleaner. I've talked about it on the show before. It's a little robo vacuum. It vacuums the apartment by itself. And I was very resistant to getting it, but my boyfriend really wanted to get one. And it has changed my life. I mean, I used to vacuum all the time because of the cat hair. Now I never have to do it. The Roborock just does it itself. And I feel like it has its own little personality. Like, it gets out there, and I'm like, this is like having a second pet.
So you've made Kurt regret it.
Oh, no, he's into it, too. Like, it gets out, and I'm like, Lucy, your brother is vacuuming the apartment. She just sits and stares at it. Like,
does she ride it?
No, but that would be teacher? Amazing. That'd be amazing. Yeah.
Did you name it?
Did not name it, no.
Are you going to?
I'll let Kurt name it because he purchased it, so.
You have one of those, Andrew?
No, just
he's
the
got
Dyson.
The Dyson.
Yeah, I've got the Dyson.
Oh, that's right.
That's right.
I looked it up, by the way. It's not.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a Tyson, like the chicken company.
It's a string of letters that are unpronounceable. It's like Wulop.
The sign of Boron.
Yeah. It's like WLUOPWUW. Like, it's.
Wow. And he thought Dyson.
Yeah. And Dyson. What made you think Dyson?
That means Dyson in Swedish.
It might be like Russian or something.
Does it have a ball like randomly on it? Is that why you thought it was a Dyson?
What?
Dyson's a.
Yeah, they got
like
a little
ball.
Joint.
Yeah.
It looks
yeah.
like a ball.
Oh, no. It's just like a. It's like a vacuum.
No ball.
No ball. It's like a vacuum.
Yeah, no, it's just like a vacuum, Amy.
Good stuff.
You think if you put a Roomba in your car, it would just say no? It's not.
Now that's funny. Could you bring your rock vacuum?
Just let it loose in
just
the trash car.
Just let it loose in the trash car.
I think it would give up.
Yeah, I think it would just scoot on out of
there. I think it would find a way to open the door and leave.
Yeah. We'd see it going down Tucker Boulevard.
Like, no.